At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andrea.
How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. Traffic is horrific in this town this lunchtime.
Yeah. Yes. Is the keys or what?
The whole lot. The whole bloody lot, Andrea.
Mary Lou
so
McDonald.
So I got here by the skin of my teeth.
Really, yeah.
But I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, no, we're
thanks for inviting.
Not at all. Delighted to have you in. Lots to chat about. You've had a tough year.
Yep.
How have you managed that?
Yes, I have. A little bit over a year. Yes, it has been tough and challenging. I managed by managing it in the way that you do. Like, nobody lives a life where you don't meet challenges, where things can go wrong, in some cases go catastrophically wrong for families. But all of your listeners will know this. I suppose in my case, it's just a whole succession of things happened all at once, and where I had been kind of going along, like busy out.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm a mother and I'm busy and always on the go. So a very busy life, but, you know, reasonably orderly, you know. And then all of a sudden I had my own health challenge, which, thank God, I got through pretty well.
You're doing good.
Doing great.
Yeah,
yeah,
great.
Absolutely doing great. Then my husband got very sick very suddenly. And then, of course, my father died this summer. So it all happened kind of at once. And it's like anything. You manage by just managing. You get up in the morning, put one foot in front of the other. You turn up for work. You do your thing. The thing, though, that I will say is that you don't walk any of these journeys on your own. And my God, if you learn a real appreciation for your family, for your friends, and for how good people are.
Yeah.
And how kind and how supportive people are.
Just on that, like, because it's probably, I'd say it's about over a week now since you spoke about your husband's health concerns and his illness and diagnosis that came about last year. What has that reaction been like from not just, we'll say, you know, constituency people and locals and family, but the sort of the wider public? What's the reaction?
Well, it's been immense because I think at this stage, Andre, there isn't a family in the country for whom cancer has not been a reality, mm-hmm. either within your direct family, your extended family, your friendship group. And everybody knows when a cancer diagnosis comes into your life, it is a game changer, not just for the individual, but for the whole family. So there's lots of people who have faced what we faced and so much, so much more. And so I think there's nearly a real sense of solidarity in a strange way between people. And then Irish people, because we live in a small society, like we're not a vast territory.
No.
This is a wee island. We're not Australia. So we're all so connected anyhow that people are very compassionate, very supportive. I think also very relieved to hear that in our case, my husband is great now. He's got a great prognosis. He's in the best of good form, looking forward with great positivity. So our family now is in a great place.
Yeah.
And I'm just conscious, like lots of people that who've reached out to me in the meantime, they're still facing a struggle and a challenge and endless, you know, hospital wards and appointments and just the sheer worry and stress.
But that's the thing,
of what
isn't it?
It's that actually. It's what's happening, but it's also all of the what ifs that kind of play on your mind. And I know there's great support services and great family networks. And the thing I've really learned is the value of leaning on people. You see people who love you, your friends, your family. You see when the going gets tough, lean on them. Let them help you. Let them carry a little bit of the load.
You're not afraid to ask family and friends.
No, and maybe it's because I have a public role and I have always been so busy when my kids were small, like all along since they were before they were born and as they were babies and throughout, I got very good at accepting help.
Yeah.
Because to function and to do my job, I had to.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, like you, I listened to you talk before about your own health issues last year, and you've spoken very publicly about going through hysterectomy and all that goes with that. And I can picture the scene now because, you know, you've gone through surgery and you're resting up and you're getting well and it gets to the end of the summer and you're probably thinking, you know, geez, we could do it a break. We'll take a holiday. We'll go away now a few days. And you're over in France. And next thing, your husband gets sick.
Well, it was even better, Andrew, because I was doing so well that I went with my sister and a couple of her mates and we did a couple of stages of the Camino.
Right.
Now, it wasn't so much walking as climbing. But anyway, it was full on.
Yeah.
I was so pleased with myself. I said, this is it. I'm back.
Yeah.
This is brilliant. Loved it. Enjoyed it. We had the best of crack. A group of women, you know. And then we met in Donosti in San Sebastian. Martin came over. We said, great. We had a brilliant time. And literally, we packed our cases. Between packing our cases and getting to Biarritz Airport, Martin's health literally disintegrated that quickly. I now know what was going on. At the time, I couldn't figure out what the hell it was. I now know what had happened. And I'm just fortunate that my own instinct, survival instinct, and also the intervention of the most lovely woman in that airport. She was an Irish woman, a nurse. She was flying, I think, back to London, and she came. My husband's very stubborn. She came and said to him, Mary Lou's right, you cannot get on that flight.
Right.
So I got him to the Urgence and all that happened. But it's amazing. You know, people who've done the Camino will recognise this saying. They say the Camino provides, you know, so if you can't find accommodation or you're in difficulties, the Camino will provide and someone will help you along. I said to my sister afterwards, I was still doing my Camino.
Yeah.
Because definitely that intervention by that woman was absolutely critical.
Arguably the biggest part of the Camino or challenge, you know, came in the aftermath of that. And there's something very frightening about, you know, going, finding yourself in the emergency room in Biarritz in France and, you know, surgery and doctors and treatment and all that kicks off and starts there. In your experience, like, how was your experience for you and Martin and the family of going through the health system, like experiencing that firsthand in a different country?
Yeah, and I speak reasonably good Spanish, but I have, like, I had to retrieve whatever French I had very, very quickly. And they were great, but it was very scary because I wasn't sure, am I in the right place? What's happening? The Irish Embassy, when that kicked in, were really helpful and supportive, to give them credit. I have a couple of ideas of how we could improve kind of the service there, but they were absolutely great. But it was just, you just sort of, I almost walked through it like almost like a ghost in some ways. I couldn't ring home because I couldn't articulate the words. I was so shocked by what had happened. I begged God not to take him. And then he came through. He went to ICU, high dependency. I was in and out for that, but the gas part of it was the Irish rugby team were in town to play a match in Bayonne. So I'd be out walking in the morning. I'm a walker. Yeah. So I'd be out walking in the morning, getting my head straight, and I'd see like Paul O'Connell jog by me, all the lads out, and the people on their holidays. Yeah. So it was this kind of bizarre thing of managing this situation, centering myself, figuring it out, making the plan, figuring out for the kids what to tell them, how to, the family.
Because they weren't in Beirut with
you.
No,
they weren't. Yeah. I had sent my son home. And at the same time, there was all this like happiness and joy and family holidays. Mm. And then our fabulous rugby squad jogging by me. And I was under disguise.
Right. I was going to say
they didn't recognize
it. Yeah. But so you're there and you're in France and you're dealing with all of that. Comparable, like, could you compare the health system, you know, better than here? Not as good? What was the review?
It's excellent. And they saved my husband's life. So we are forever and forever in their debt.
Yeah.
And all of their diagnostics and the whole lot happened very, very efficiently. So first class, not just first class service, if you like, and care, but first class compassion. They were very aware of the fact that we were far away from home and all of this had happened. So they were great. And I also have to say, as when he came back, the care here in Ireland for cancer care is excellent. I mean, the staff, all of them across the board are to be commended. I always think the issue in Ireland isn't so much the quality of care that you will receive necessarily. It's actually getting into the system. It's getting access.
Once you're in the door.
Once you're in the door. Top class. I think that's most people's experience
of it. Martin's doing well. A year
doing
on
great. Though. Yeah, not a bother on him. He's fighting fit. Don't worry, he'll be back annoying me now.
Yeah,
Andrea, driving me. He's my biggest kind of commentator.
Is
on,
he? Yeah.
You know, how things are going and what I'm doing right.
Really?
Doing
do you get a sort of a debrief every day? Or?
Oh, yeah. Well, he can pick his moments. There are some days when I come in the door that's not what we want to be talking about. You know, when I go home and I close the door, that's my space.
Yeah.
I was going to say mammy, but my kids are, I've two adults now. But that's very much. I've always tried hard to kind of keep that kind of distinction between public work, the politics, and then my home life, and keeping it very.
Is that hard for the kids? Like, I don't want to, you know, pray too much because they're entitled to their privacy. But is that hard to, you know, manage that barrier and that line between?
We've
what's
managed
private?
It. I mean, we've managed it. Bear in mind, I was first elected to office, and my daughter had just been born, and then I had my boy a couple of years later. So they haven't ever really known anything else.
For all their childhood and their life,
yeah.
Really,
so they would be used to, like, in the supermarket, you're going around and people coming up to mommy. They thought this was normal. They thought this is just the way things go.
Everybody tackles mommy in Super Value.
They have their own ideas on life. And all of that, we've always encouraged that. We encourage absolute independent thinking. And they're two really good kids, young adults.
Yeah.
We manage it. But of course, I would imagine for anybody with any kind of a public profile, you have to be conscious that, you know, you're the public figure, your kids aren't, your partner isn't. And trying to get that, just that balance in it is really, really important.
Would you encourage them into politics with any interest?
I have always encouraged them to be deeply political and know exactly what's going on around them in their own lives, for their own quality of life, for their own futures, and equally to understand the world for their neighbours and for their friends and for people who might live very, very far away from them, but where the consequences of our actions you know,
but do you have any interest in pushing them, you know, or encouraging them into all learning?
I think you have to, you really have to want that yourself. You see, to run for public office and to go the distance in political life, because some people, and there's nothing wrong with this, by the way, will come in, they might do a term in the Dáil, they might go and do something else. That's fine. But if you're going to be, as I am, you know, a lifelong activist and somebody who commits to this for the long term, you really have to personally want to, because, and this is not doing a poor us, because it's not, we're privileged to serve, but it is a demanding life.
And
there's
not
no two ways.
Not only that, it has, you know, look, politics has always been a difficult game. It's always been, you know, there's a toxic world around it. And like, that has got worse. The toxicity around politics has got a lot worse. We only saw the protests, we were listening to it in the news, the number of arrests following the protests outside the Dáil yesterday. Do you, like, when you hear things, you know, even yesterday there was examples of, like, Sinn Féin or traitors, like, that's what you hear, some examples of that yesterday. How does that sit with you? How does it sit with your kids? When I was even looking back, there was pictures, like a photograph of you, you know, last year at the East Wall protest last June. It's a lovely photograph of you, obviously, previously from an election campaign, election billboard, and, like, you know, photograph of Mary Lou, lovely green blazer, and then the word traitor across it in capital letters, you know, and the same again outside the constituency office in May this year, Mary Lou is a traitor. And like, I look at that and I think of your children, and I think, like, they come home now after a day at school or that or college, and they go, like, how do they cope with that?
Yeah, well, look, that is just, I suppose, a sign of the times. Just remember this, that is not representative of the vast majority of Irish people, irrespective of what their politics, whether they think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread or whether they wouldn't vote for you if you're the only person on the ballot sheet. That is not the way. By the way, including people who look at current events, immigration in particular, who have concerns, who have worries, who are unsatisfied with how it's being managed and the government are making a mess of it, even people in that category. This is a very small cohort of people. And it was amazing, you know, when you refer to the poster of me, there was an action taken by government. People were brought into a building in Eastwall. There was no prior notice, no consultation, which I've been very critical of myself. That was deeply divisive and very unhelpful. But wouldn't you think if you had an issue like that with that, isn't the obvious thing that you would call to account the government who had made those decisions and put you in that position?
And yet at the protest.
And yet at the protest, miraculously, person number one was me, my mugshot with traitor written across it. So it's now come to light many, many months, a year and more later, that the ones pushing this message around me and around Sinn Féin are up on the Ormo Road in Belfast with the UDA, loyalist groups, in skitten at the fact that five innocent Catholics were gunned down in Graham's bookmakers, their repulsive action. So that kind of tells you their mentality, who they're mixing with. Nobody's serious. Whatever your view of people's politics, this kind of branding people as traitors, the people in political life that I deeply disagree with.
But is it hard for your kids that, though, to hear mammy been called a traitor?
Well, of course they don't like it. Yeah. But I mean, they know also that mammy is a tough enough little nut, and they know that mammy will manage it. So and in our house, they come home, we talk about everything. Of course they don't like it. Nobody would like that.
But for you, though, for many years and right up, and I know we had the locals quite recently, and, you know, you look for the polls would suggest from looking at it was the performance of Sinn Féin in more recent years, you were and have been Taoiseach in waiting, effectively, you know, and in many commentators would say and would write about that. Local elections might have suggested differently. Obviously, polls would indicate maybe differently now too, and a pending general election in the coming months. But like, when you look at all of that and the toxicity of politics at the moment, do you ever just say to yourself, what am I doing? Why am I going to put myself through this?
Can I just tell you, Andrea, you see, the thing is, there's no such thing as Taoiseach in waiting. That's the thing.
I know.
You are either the Taoiseach.
Yeah, or you're not.
Or you're not.
We know it's election results can change. But do you ever say to yourself...
No, I take your point. Look, there are moments when I scratch my head in wonderment and I look at the world and I say, what is going on here? I won't lie.
But mother of God, what am I doing with all you've
dealt with? I have never, ever, for 1 minute... thought to myself, really, what am I doing? I know exactly what I'm doing. I mean, I went in, let me give you this little kind of pen picture, because maybe this explains my mentality and my how I see the world. The Dáil came back on Wednesday. I went in. The first issue I raised was an issue of young Harvey. He's a child of 8. He's waiting for surgery. He's got spina bifida and scoliosis. Yeah. The poor child, the curvature is now 110 degrees and he's real difficulty breathing. And this child has suffered and suffered and suffered for 7 years, for all of his life.
Yeah. And his, we had his parents on.
His mum and dad have been on, been on with you. So you see, for me, if there is a bottom line in political life and leadership, the bottom line is you have to show up for him and for his family. Okay. And so long as that's your focus, you will never, ever really question. And no matter how taxing or trying, and you'll have your ups and downs.
And look, you know? And in the middle of all of this too, you know, only a couple of months ago, you had dealing with a death threat. I know there's not much you can say Garda investigation into that. But I mean, anybody else listening to this would think, Jesus, you'd pack it all in.
Anyone listening to this would say, she is completely mad. Like, is she in her right mind?
But here's
the balance in it, though. The balance in it is, you see, in this job, this walk of life, maybe uniquely, You get access to people's lives in a way that's incredible. Well, and you know the way people say, well, politics and couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
Actually, people trust you a lot.
I know, and it is. And it's a very unique and a privilege.
It is a privilege. And just, I don't mean that as a cliche.
No, I know that. Yeah. And just on that, I was thinking too of Taoiseach Simon Harris and his family, you know, even in talking to you and his wife and his two kids. And we've seen protests that have taken place outside his home. But just in the vein of the future and you politically, like, is that something you're prepared for? The scenes that we've even seen outside Simon Harris's house.
Well, they've been outside mine as well. They travel.
Yeah.
They've been outside lots of people's homes. I think that when you put yourself out into the public domain for a public office, and particularly if your ambition is to lead government, you have to go at this with your eyes wide open. There's a huge amount of work to be done. It carries a massive amount of responsibility. Big decisions to be made, big change that can be made. And you will have those who will support you and back you every step of the way. You have others who will differ with you. And then you will have an abusive element. You have to factor that in.
You're not deterred.
And then you need to find out. Absolutely not. Okay. And by the way, I think not just me. Nobody should be deterred or much less bullied by that. We have to. You have a right to go about your business, to do your very best. And if people disagree with you, that's fine.
Well, just
that's
on fine. That, and I know you have often had your disagreements and your arguments, and rightly so too, I suppose. You're in opposition, leader of the opposition party, quite critical of, obviously, the government. But I want you to be positive for a moment, right?
Okay. I'm always positive.
I know. But I want you to, one word, positive word now, to describe Taoiseach Simon Harris.
Well, his word, energy. That's his word, isn't it? He's certainly making himself very plentiful, which is great. I mean, it's a very important part of the jobs that we do, that you're out, that you're meeting people. I love that part of the
job. Yeah, doing a good job?
It's the fun part of it. He's certainly getting about.
Yeah. Micheál Martin,
The question is, the real energy that's required is to kind of solve housing, solve health. So meanwhile, all of this activity is happening. None of the things that actually need to get sorted out are getting sorted out.
One word to describe Micheál Martin. Positive.
Micheál Martin. He's got stamina. He's in political life a long time. He's stood the course. He's continued on and on. Stamina. That's the word.
Energy and stamina. I think they'll be happy with that.
Yeah, well, I hope they would be equally gracious.
Yeah, it's complimentary of you. Good. I should have said at the very start, I want to sympathise with you about your dad, because he only passed away during the summer. How are you dealing with that?
I'm dealing with it pretty well. I had said, just in kind of commenting on this, my relationship with my father was complicated. My parents separated when I was very, very young. And my dad was a very complicated person. He lived his life, sadly, in addiction. So he suffered a lot and we suffered a lot. And therefore, when he died, it's a complicated kind of grief. And maybe all grief is. I don't know. I only know my experience of losing my
father. Something, it's something I can tell you. It's a common theme that you and I share, because I lost my dad 5 years ago. And I don't know if people have said this to you, but they certainly still say it to me. You know, it gets easier as time goes on. And I don't know, like, and this probably isn't something I should say to you maybe, but I don't know that it does. I think you just get more used to it.
Yeah.
But it's hard and everybody deals with it very differently.
Yeah. And it's kind of hard then to... It's different if you have like a very sort of steady, I imagine, relationship with your father, kind of the norm, you know, normal in inverted commas relationship with your father. And I didn't have that. So it's just a very strange, it's a more complicated scenario. Or maybe it's not. I'm still getting becoming accustomed to this reality. Death. It's the finality of it. That's the part. And I will only discover in time whether or not this gets easier or harder.
The first of everything. Yeah. People make a big thing about the first Christmas and the first Father's Day and the first birthday and all that goes with that. But it's often the days in between sometimes that are.
Yeah. And you know, I'm very lucky that my mother is as fit as a flea. Like, she's flying it.
Yeah.
Never play cards with her, Andrea.
Right.
Don't do it, folks.
What a great card player.
She's a great card player. She's a Tipperary woman, and she you know, she learned all the tricks of the trade in her childhood. So she's as fit as a flea.
Yeah.
She raised us. Like, she's our anchor. She's the rock of our family. So I feel so grateful to have her. And we started talking about, you know, the year has been tough, and it was, but you know what? I just wake up each morning with immense gratitude and immense purpose.
You seem like you're full of energy.
Oh, I am. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm
you
good
do.
To
you
go.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I'm
buzzing. As much as
we're going to have now quite the time of it over the next
November. Is that what you're thinking?
I think November. The word on the beat is the 15th of November.
There
now,
you go.
That's
well,
right or wrong.
Save the weekend.
Whether it's right or wrong, but that's what we're
right.
teeing up for, and I'm looking forward to it and getting around, meeting people, and setting out all of our plans.
Oh, yourself. Well,
and our ideas.
We'll have you back to talk about that
Absolutely.
Another day. Listen, it's been a real pleasure, and thanks for popping in for a chat, Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.